All right. For a message, I want to look at Psalm 17. Keep me as the apple of the eye. I'm going to read this psalm. Psalm 17. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the words of the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing toward the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of the prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from the men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly is thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. As you notice, this psalm is identified as a Psalm of David. And we could ask the question, when did he write this psalm? And we don't know for sure. But they assume it was written while he was fleeing from King Saul. I'm just going to turn to a passage in 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. I know some give this as a time when it was written. Like I say, this is just a guess. But let's take a look at this passage and see where King David was as we look at this psalm in 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul saw him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Here we have David, who was pursuing after God, who was following after God, who had been the hero of the battle there with Goliath, but he was being chased like a dog by the king of Israel, by Saul. He was hiding in caves. He had no electricity. He had no bathroom. He had no kitchen. Yes, he was hunted like a wild animal by the king. And he said these words, there is but a step between me and death. not in this psalm, but in another psalm. What would have been your mental state of mind in those conditions? What would you have been thinking? Well, here in Psalm 17, we have David revealing what he was thinking as he was in these circumstances of, I would assume, when he was being chased by King Saul through the deserts of Judea. And it's good to see what, it's a blessing to look at what David was thinking here. First of all, as we look at the first three verses, we see David as he turns to prayer. I think I'll read these verses again. He says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." He's saying, hear this, I have a righteous cause, Lord. Hear, attend to my cry. Listen to my prayer, Lord. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thy vindication or thy verdict come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal, or the things that are just, or the things that are right. Thou hast proved, or you have tested my heart, and thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Here we have David as he prays to God. And as we see him in this distress, one of the things he does is he prays. I say, praise the Lord. That is such an important and such a wonderful response that when he gets into distress, what does he do? But he looks to God. That's what we need to do when we get in distress. We need to simply look to God, to the God who has answers to our problems. We need to believe God is. We need to believe God hears. And David did. He said, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goes not out of feigned lips." He says, listen to what I have to say. I believe David did believe in, he had a firm belief. First of all, he had a firm belief in the existence of God. There was no question in David's mind that God existed. He had a firm belief in the presence of God, as that God's presence was with him and directing him as he went through life. He had a firm belief in the influence of God. Now that might be a very weak word to use, but it conveys the thought that I'm trying to express, that God was able to influence and direct and guide in his life. He had a firm belief in that, the influence of God on his life. Yes, he believed that. And he had a firm belief in God's concern for the righteous. He firmly believed that because he was righteous, God was firmly interested in him. These thoughts are all evident as we look at these first three verses. In verse 1, he says, "Give ear unto my prayers that goeth not out of feigned lips." They were not lips full of hypocrisy. They were words of sincerity. David had learned who God was. And David had committed himself to God unreservedly. And he says, yes, hear my prayer that goeth not out of lips of hypocrisy. I have been following you in sincerity, in all genuineness. That's beautiful. In verse 2, he talks about God's sentence or God's verdict. Let my verdict come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are right. He says, God, look upon the things that are right. He was confident that God actually would do that. That he would look upon the things that are right. And he was confident that he was following the path that was right. And that's why he could appeal to God to look at the things that are right. That's very interesting. He was not hesitant or wondering about his relationship with God. In verse 3, he goes on farther. He says, thou hast proved my heart. You've tested my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. And we know how God visits us in the night. He examines us, and we find ourselves examining ourselves in the night. As we drift off to sleep, and we examine ourselves. Thou hast, he says, you have tested mine heart. You have visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. What a testimony. As David looked at his own life, and I'm sure David wasn't trying to say, I'm some absolutely sinless, no faultless person, but he was saying that I have examined mine heart, and you can examine my heart, and you can examine my life, and you will find that I have been following you sincerely. They're not going to question my commitment to you. That is how David was in his commitment to God. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. He had purposed in his life that he was going to be holy. Even his words were not going to be a transgression of the will of God. And that's why he could come to God with this confidence. And that David was all in with God. And that needs to be how we are. All in with God. Nothing would stop him from doing the will of God. He was committed. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Not my mouth, not anything. I'm going to follow you. That needs to be our commitment as well. Moving on. We have verses 4 and 5. And we have his commitment to God's ways. Concerning the works of men. By the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. What I see David emphasizing here in these verses is the blessing of God's ways. In verse 4 he says, concerning the works of men, or concerning what people do, by the words of thy lips. By the words of thy lips. The words of thy lips. What is he referring to? He's referring to the word of God, right? It's very evident. He's referring to the word of God. By the words of thy lips. Now, what does he say here? I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Because I have followed your ways, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. He understood the pathways of God, that they were powerful to protect him from the path of the destroyer. And who is that? That's the devil. He was very much aware that there is a God in heaven that has a pathway, and there is the devil, which has his own pathway. And he says, by the word of thy lips, thou hast I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. He recognized that the ways of the wicked one were ways unto destruction. And he didn't want to have anything to do with the paths of the wicked, the ways of the wicked. He didn't want anything to do with them. He believed that the pathways of God were the ways of life and of deliverance and of preservation. And he goes on and he says, hold up my goings in thy paths. God, I want to walk in your paths. He had the books of the law, the five books of the law. He had that, and he could read them. And he said, I want to follow your paths. He believed that the paths of God were the ways that he could keep from slipping. Hold up my ways in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And we need to have a commitment, an admiration, a desire to understand the will of God and how we should live, and a desire to embrace that and to make that a part of our life. That our paths, that our feet slip not, that my footsteps slip not. Because when we take the ways of men, the wisdom of men, we're going to slide. When we take our own path, we're going to slide. And that's always our experience. When we take the way of God, our footsteps will not slip. What do you say, Vernon? He was living in a cave. He was hunted like a dog. What do you mean his paths weren't slipping? His paths weren't slipping. He knew where he was. He was still here in this earth. He knew the adversary, the destroyer, was still out there. And he knew he was in warfare. That was all part of his concept of who he was and where he was. But he also knew that if he followed the pathway of God, his foot would not slip. You know, right after those verses that I read, there in 1 Samuel 23, as he was fleeing from Saul, Jonathan comes and encourages him in the ways of God. Says, brother, keep it up. Someday you're going to be the king of Israel, and I'm going to be under you. And he encouraged him. There are a lot of the wisdom of man it's hard to understand the wisdom of man and what they come up with. It's being expressed today in many, many, many ways. The wisdom of man that is far, far away from the ways of God. And when we look at them, we're often baffled by how they could think that way. How could you think that if you do this and this, you're going to get that result? But they have their wisdom, which is so wrong. But it's, we need to be anchored that the Word of God is the pathway of life, and we're going to follow it. It's still the pathway of life, and we're going to embrace it. We're going to live humbly in this world. We're going to pursue godly interests, godly music, godly dress,
modesty, and everything that relates to life and godliness, we're going to pursue it without embarrassment and shame. So we have David's commitment to God's ways. Let's look at verses 6 through 9. And here we see David marveling at the loving kindness of God. All right? Yeah. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against thee. David's concept of God. The reason he called on God, he says, he doesn't say this is the reason. He says, hear my speech, but he says, show thy marvelous loving kindness. That's what he believed God was. He believed that God was a God who had loving kindness. What kind of loving kindness? Marvelous loving kindness. It's just so good. Not only did he have loving kindness, which is amazing and wonderful, but David's concept of God was he had marvelous loving kindness. And again, there was but a step between him and death, and yet he was firmly anchored that God had marvelous loving kindness. That God loved David, and that God not only loved David, but that he would go out of his way to show kindness to David. Marvelous loving kindness. And we need to have that confidence as well, that our God will go out of his way to show his goodness and his kindness to us. That's what David believed as he was living in a cave, away from the city, away from his family. And that's what we need to believe as well. That our God is a God of marvelous loving kindness. You're going to hear me. You're going to show to me your loving kindness. Verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. What did David believe? About God, as God viewed him. He said, keep me as the apple of the eye. We know how much we protect our eyes, and that we don't let anything get in them, and how well they're protected, even the way our faces are designed. And he says here, keep me as the apple of the eye. He understood that God viewed him very intensely and very specially. He understood that. And that God cared about him. He understood that God loved him. He had an understanding of We likewise need to have an understanding of God's love for me. But not only do we need to have an understanding of God's love for me, and that's important, but God views everyone very intensely and very lovingly. And so we need to understand that God has a very, We need to understand God's love for others as well. His intense love for others also. Yes, his intense love for me, but his intense love for others. And when we see another individual, whoever it is, we understand that that person is the apple of His eye as well. And we respect them. And we treat them as an individual that God loves intensely and wants to have as a part of His family.
And so David's prayer was, yeah, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Protection under the wing of God. I will trust you, Lord. I will believe that like a hen will protect her chicks, so you will watch over me and protect me. Again, as David was living in a cave far away from his home, he believed in the personal protection of God over him. And we need to have that confidence as well, that that's how big our God is. And that He understands where we are. David was special to God, but he was not any more special than anybody else, except that David was honest and open and committed to God. In that sense, David was special to God. But God has that love for us, and He will protect His people. He will watch over them and keep them. Oh, He will lead us through difficult times because He loves us, and because He wants us to grow up, and because He wants us to make us into something beautiful. Yes, He will lead us through difficult times, but He will keep us under the shadow of His wings. What a beautiful picture, and what a wonderful place when we understand that we can come to rest. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. And that's the testimony of David as well. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. We need to have that confidence. Let's have that confidence. Let's grow in our trust that under the shadow of His wing is a very safe place to be. David found shelter under that shadow, the shadow of His wing. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. God was protecting him. God did. Okay, we have then from verse 10 to verse 14. David describes the pursuit of Saul and his prayer for deliverance. Let's take a look at these verses. They are enclosed in their own fat. Now, Adam Clark says what he's saying there is, they have closed their net upon me. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. What does it mean they have set their eyes bowing down to the earth? I think it's Adam Clark also suggests they are looking for my footprints. Can you see that? Bowing down to the earth, looking, trying to find His footprints so they can capture Him. They have compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes, bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy for its prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. You never know where there's a lion hiding and willing, ready to pounce on you. That's what David's experience was as he traveled around in the wildernesses. He didn't know when King Saul would find him. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men, which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. The phrase in this passage that I would like to lift out is that phrase, which have their portion in this life. Which have their portion in this life. We as believers, as followers of God, may not, should not have our portion in this life. It's so easy. We live here. It becomes our security. It's not our security. It's our but this is not our portion. Open your eyes. Look up. And just look at the next verse. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. What a leap. Yeah, there he was. He was in his 20s. He was hiding from the king, but he was looking somewhere. And he didn't set his goal on some earthly attainment. But he said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. He was looking up. He was looking forward to that opportunity when the Almighty God, he would be able to see, and he would be able to be in the very presence of Almighty God in a different world than the world that he was living in, this portion in this life. He believed in that heavenly country, that heavenly kingdom, and he wanted to be a part of that heavenly country, and he wanted to experience the very presence of God. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awaken thy likeness. And he knew, even though he had this 20-some-year-old body that was still strong and healthy, that he was going to die, and there was no future in this world. And he looked forward to the time when he would be with God, and he would awaken in his likeness. Yes. And that needs to be our vision as well. That we would see His likeness. And we will look forward to awakening in His likeness, that these things in this world we know are going to pass away. I'm looking forward to heaven. What an unshaking faith that he had. He didn't know how everything was going to turn out. He did believe that he would be king of Israel. But that wasn't the utopia of his life. No. Someday, he would be able to leave this world and wake up in the likeness of God. Let's continue to push our boundaries and have that vision for ourselves as well. Keep me as the apple of the eye. I'm going to read these verses from Deuteronomy 32, verse 10 and 11. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye.
As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God among him. This is specifically describing the children of Israel, as God was their God. And it says, he kept him as the apple of his eye. But I believe we can very much take that to apply to ourselves as well. It certainly applies to Israel. But we can take it to apply to ourselves as well. And that he will keep us as the apple of his eye. And knowing that, we are going to be committed to following him in every aspect and in every way, trusting him and allowing our life to be a testimony in this world of who God is. Let's kneel for prayer.